Now, this morning, I want to share with you some observations about race, racism, and the criminal justice system. Some observations about the way we often ignore the increasing entanglement of issues of race, class, gender, sexuality. And specifically, I want to look at the ways in which we talk about or fail to talk about these issues in relation to the debates about crime and the related debates on welfare and immigration. Now, considering the present political climate, and I'm going to have to be careful not to engage in some tangential discussion about the new rise of the Republican order, Newt Gingrich and his kith and kin. But I want to look at what was unfolding prior to the elections last November. Why had there come to be such a widespread acceptance of the law and order posturing which emanated primarily from the Democrats at that point? As someone who's been active over a number of decades, I can remember the first period during which the law and order cry was raised. Nixon was the president then. Most of you all don't remember those days, but and it's interesting that Black people, other people of color, progressive people had no difficulty understanding the racial codes of that slogan, law and order. And as a matter of fact, when Bush, in his anti-crime campaign, presented Willie Horton as the archetypal criminal, the Black male rapist, murderer of a white woman, it certainly required no extraordinary sagacity to grasp the link between crime and Blackness, to grasp the discursive link that was being created. However, now it seems that we have a great deal of difficulty reading the codes. Race pervades virtually all of the discourses on crime that confront us today. Yet public debates on the role of the state that once focused very sharply and openly on issues of race and racism are now expected to unfold in the absence of any direct acknowledgement of the persistence and indeed further entrenchment of racially structured power relationships.